open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Dr. Stephen Lambert joined us at Abundant Life on January the 22nd, 2022, delivering a powerful message on God's kind of faith. Join us today for part one.
Moses was realizing this plant, but it's not being consumed. Why doesn't it burn up? And I believe in that moment he began to understand God was showing him his life. He'd been through the fire, all kinds of fire. And the Bible promises, did you know this? Another message for another time. That we're all going to go through refining fires. In fact, it says seven times. Through the fire. So you say you're in fire number five this morning? Well, you only got two more to go. That's good news, right? So I want to deliver good news to you this morning. But we will all go through the fires of testing. That the testing of your faith. In fact, that's in my message. I'm getting ahead of myself. That the testing of your faith will produce perseverance or endurance. It's great to have faith. And we're going to talk about that this morning. That's what we're talking about this morning. That's a pretty basic message for Christianity, right? Faith. Well, can you describe to me what faith is? If somebody were to ask you, give us a 5-minute message on what is faith. Be difficult, wouldn't it? What is faith? Well, that's what we're here to talk about this morning. And so Moses began to realize, well, this is my life. I've been through these fires, but here I am. I'm still here. And that's the way it is for God's people. You go through the fires, but guess what? You're not consumed. In fact, the Bible even promises we go through the fire, we won't even have the smell of smoke on us. Okay, Lord. I wasn't going to say this either. I'm reminded, this happened, Pastor. This happened. I guess it was 1990, or possibly 91. I was praying this way. Now, some of you knew my father, Larry Lambert. He had a church in Jupiter. They asked me to come from where I was and help. I won't go into all that, but I came to help. I left everything, my wife and I. We sold everything. We came to help my dad in the church in Jupiter, my mom and my dad. One day in the morning, I was praying before church. And the Lord mentioned that very scripture I just read to you. Luke 12, 49, I came to cast fire. You see, folks, we got to understand who God is. He's not like us. He's almighty. And he can do anything. We go to church that morning. I go to church that morning. And the Lord's speaking this about there's going to be fire today. We're sitting there about, I went early, about 30 minutes before the service started. And I was with some other people there, and the people that are normally there, like y'all gather here in the morning, some of the leadership, and they're there. And all of a sudden, we hear people busting through the door. And we look, and it's the fire department in Jupiter. Listen, this happened. And they said, and they come and they got their tools with them and all their equipment. And they said, and the chief of this crew comes busting in and he says to us, "Where's the fire? Where's the fire? Where's the fire?" And we go, we don't know. What are you talking about? Well, the alarms went off, and the alarms are off outside, and all of the signals are telling us there's a fire in this building. I'm telling you, as a witness, it happened. Our God can do anything. And for some reason, and they went and they looked through all the building. They got up in the attic. Where's the attic? Access the attic. Oh, it's in there in the pastor's office. So they go in there and they go up into the attic. And about 10 minutes later, they came back. They go, "We don't understand it. We smell smoke, but we can't find the source. It's setting off alarms, but we can't find it." And the guy said, "What are you people doing?" And sounding like, what's the guy's on Hill? What's the name of that program? Hill? That cartoon? Hill something. Anyway, you know, we go, we're not doing anything. Must be God, we said. But I'm telling you what, man, did we have a service that day. People came expecting the normal. Guess what? They didn't get the normal. They got the fire of God that day. And there was a point in the service where every person that was on the platform that was leading in the worship, just nobody signaled this, nobody led this, nobody said this. They just, bam, went down on their knees. Couldn't stand up. Because our God is a consuming fire. We want fire. If he's a consuming fire, then I want fire. I want fire on my life. God said to Smith, you might remember this story. God said to Smith Wigglesworth, who is known as the apostle of faith, and he is in my notes at the end. He said, "Wigglesworth," he told this many times, "I'm going to burn you up." And he says, "God, well, until there's nothing left of Wigglesworth." And that's why they called him the Apostle of Faith. And that's why he did such extraordinary miracles. Some of the greatest miracles ever recorded were done by a plumber who had a fifth grade education. But he walked in the Word of God. He believed the Word of God. And God did burn up Wigglesworth till there was nothing. He couldn't care less about all the people that were saying all kinds of, "Well, what are you doing hitting people in the stomach?" He says, "I'm not hitting them in the stomach. I'm hitting the devil." I recently saw his granddaughter on that supernatural with, what's his name? The Jewish Sid Roth. And she was, his great-granddaughter was the story. And how she knew also that that's what he did. That's what he was doing. That's what he always said. No, I'm warring against the devil, not these people. And amazingly, he would hit people in the stomach. And we're not recommending that, folks. And make sure you have a lot of insurance before you, liability insurance before, if you want to plan that. That's not what we're recommending. But this is how God used Smith Wigglesworth. Many people got healed as a result of that. You know where it started? It actually started, he had such a terrible thing of, appendicitis going on for years, and he didn't go get it removed. And he would be under attack. Like one day, a young boy came into the service, and he was the one that hit Wigglesworth in the belly and said, "Come out, devil, in Jesus' name." And Wigglesworth got healed. That's how Wigglesworth got healed of appendicitis that he had for years. So then he incorporated that into his methodology. But you got to be called that. You got to be called of God to get into that. We don't recommend that. God said, "I'm gonna burn you up, Wiggles." I hope God burns me up. God, I give you permission right now. Consume me. That there's nothing left of Stephen Lambert. And only you are left in my life. Praise the Lord. Now let me move into this message. Let me ask you a question. If you could, would you like to have God's faith? Pretty heavy question, right? Think about that. If God will allow you, and I'm asking someone on that stream right now, if God would allow you, would you want to have, and he said, "You know, you can have my faith." Would you be interested in that? Sunshine, would you be interested in that? Having the God kind of faith? That's my message this morning. The God kind of faith. If you could have it, would you like to have it? I mean, this is the faith that created the universe. Our God is a very creative God, is he not? He's the creator. Would you please look in, and I hope the fellows can keep up with me, but if you can, I understand. Mark 11, 22 through 24. I'm so glad to see people with their Bibles and with notepads or notebooks. And that way you can take these notes home and study them again. We rarely get everything the first time. All of us are that way. We have to hear and hear and hear. We have to study. That's why the Bible says study to show yourselves approved. I said to show yourselves approved. Are you approved by God this morning? Study to show yourselves approved. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yes, I'm in Mark 11, 22 through 24. Let's look at that. And Jesus answered, saying to them, "Have faith in God." However, the Greek, not that I know Greek, I'm still trying to learn English. Have, it actually says, have the faith. It could be translated well, and some translators and some Greek experts say, this is what it really says. Have the faith of God. Well, that changes it. One preposition changes the whole thing. have the faith of God. Now, if that's true, what Jesus is saying here is, have the God kind of faith. Is that exciting or what? He said, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, this is a familiar passage to many of us, especially those who have been around and went through the Word of Faith movement, and this was taught constantly, and we thank God for that. But unfortunately, so many of that movement took this message to mean only about prosperity. I believe in prosperity. I believe the way Lester Summerall used to say. People would ask him, and by the way, that's something, oh, I said I was going to stop that, but I have available. I narrated the life story of Lester Summerall. I had the privilege of doing that. And there's a whole story behind that. There's the, on my website, there's a video you can watch how that God spoke to me prophetically to narrate this life story, quote unquote, the life story of Lester Summerall. And he didn't speak to me in church. He spoke to me in the shower. God talks to me a lot in the shower. And I think it's because he knows he has a captive audience, you know, when I'm in the shower. And God told me, I want you to narrate the life story of Lester Summerall. I said, what? Well, I'm not going to go into it. But the video is there. Watch it. It's an amazing story. And he even told me the name of the book. I didn't know the book existed. He told me the name, exact title of the book. Anyway, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, and does not doubt in his heart, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what God says is going to happen. Is that what it says? No. It does. I know you're different stages there. Some of you have it in front of you. Some of you don't. Some of you have a different translation, all kinds of different things. But that's why we say take this home. Read it again. But believes that what he says. In other words, if that's you, that would mean what you say. Wait a minute, you say. I'm not God. What are you talking about? I've never heard that before. Well, that's why you're here this morning, so you can hear it now. God says, this is God's faith. How many of you know? We all know what John 3:16 says, right? Let's say God so. That sounds like the murmuring of the Israelites in the wilderness. God so that he. That whosoever, glory to God. But how many of us know 2 Timothy 3:16? Where it says, every word in this book, every word is God inspired, but it actually literally means, say it, sunshine, God breathed. That means when we speak the way we've learned to speak from a child is we force air over our vocal cords. We shape our mouth in a way to form words. This is how we speak. Well, this is what is happening with the Word of God when men of old wrote. They were the scribes. They wrote what God gave them. It's not their opinion. It's not their word. It's God's word. And it says every word. Now, this takes faith to believe this. Every word is inspired by God. Every jot, every tittle is inspired by God. It's God-breathed. This means God is speaking to me. People say, oh, well, this is culture. Oh, well, remember the culture of the day. Culture has nothing to do with the Word of God. In God, we have one culture. It's called kingdom culture. Let us live by the kingdom culture where Jesus is Lord and where God's Word rules and reigns over our lives. Picking back up, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes, we're not going to get very far with this, that what he says is going to happen, what he says is going to happen. Is that what it says? It says, what you say is going to happen. It will be granted him. Therefore, and whenever we see a therefore in the Bible, we should look to see what it's there for. It's important. Because God's about to say something important. When he says, therefore, I say to you, this is Jesus speaking. Now you can say, this is word of faith preaching all over again. Well, call it what you will, but I'll tell you, it works. As the pastor mentioned, I'm writing a book called Now Faith Is, taken from Hebrews 11:1. Now Faith Is. And we're going to get into this. So, faith is either now or it's never. Faith is right now. And we'll get into this some other time, and at this rate it'll be 6 weeks from now. But we'll get into this some other time. Take example of the woman that had the issue of blood. I won't go in great deal, but what did she say? She said to herself. You see, when you become a Christian, you become a believer, you're going to be fodder for all the psychologists. So watch where you go and watch what you do. Because believers talk to themselves. And the world says we need a psychiatrist if you talk to yourself. No. I'm being like God. I'm doing what God tells me to do. God says I have to talk to myself. And many times I say, now self, listen here. I've been saying for over a year, now listen here, body. You have no right to be in this condition. I'm saying to the devils, you are an... Listen, don't think I'm not a Casper milquetoast, limp-wristed little Christianette. I don't know about you. God don't need any of those. God says we got to do warfare. The Bible talks about don't shrink, don't faint in the day of testing. What is this? Cancer in my body? What? I'm outraged. Don't tell me I'm not supposed to be angry. You came too late. There's such a thing as righteous indignation. Jesus had righteous indignation. And he did not sin. Oh, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. It ain't my wrath. It's God's wrath. I told you I was a prophet. So I raise my voice sometimes. But I'm not angry. People go, you talk so angry. So I'm not angry. I'm not a bit angry. I'm happy. See the spot. I love this. I'm not angry. Not angry at you. What a high privilege it is to speak to you this morning. Thank you. And Pastor, thank you for your trust to open your pulpit up to me. I consider it a high privilege and honor. This, though it doesn't look like ones of old, is a holy desk. We call it a holy desk. Remember that from seminary? A holy desk. Not just anybody is supposed to. This means this man has confidence in me, but his confidence is not in me. It's in God. He's trusting God by this act to let somebody into his pulpit. And we say his. He'll say to you all day long, it ain't mine, it's God's. I know, I've heard him say things like that. And we need to know, I'm not mad at anybody. I ain't got time. I ain't got time to fool with that. But I'm speaking the word of God. And it's righteous indignation. You need to have righteous indignation. And don't let the devil tell you, well, you're just being angry. Yeah, devil, I'm angry at you. What are you doing in my body? I didn't give you permission to be in my body. So are you looking at me like, you don't really, oh yeah, I just said this last night. I say it every night. I wake up and I'm speaking to the devil. I'm speaking to cancer. I'm speaking to the spirit of cancer. There's such a thing as a spirit of cancer. And I'm commanding it and demanding it that it leaves my body. And you can do the same thing. I'm here to tell you today, you can do the same things I'm saying. Do not think, remember what God said, don't think these things are way out there and they're not available to you. No, I come to tell you, you can do the same thing in your life I'm telling you I do in my. And I would not have the right to tell you what to do if I wasn't doing it myself. I'm telling you, and I'm telling you, this cancer is leaving my body. I put on Facebook, and by the way, any of you on Facebook, look me up, Stephen Lambert, and I post a lot on there. There's some of the best teaching you'll ever hear right on Facebook. And I invite you to check it out because I put some good stuff. I don't just, you know, to me, it's not just for fellowship. It's not being, hi, Sister Sue, how you doing? I ain't got time for that. I want to use this to preach the Word of God and to say something worth listening to. Therefore, I say to you, back to Mark 11, all things. Everyone say all things. All things. For which you pray and ask.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStuart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Nothing is impossible. When you trust in God, nothing is impossible. When you trust in God.